And it's time for tonight's Mountain Home School District Town Hall event from Dunbar Auditorium.
I'd like to take a moment and welcome everybody to our Facebook Live event. This would be one of our final Facebook Live events that we'll be doing this summer. I would like to take a moment and thank some folks for making this possible. Ms. Danny Pugsley, our East facilitator, our East students, Mr. Maupin, for making sure that this goes off without a hitch, as well as Ms. Heather Loftus from KTLO and KTLO for helping us broadcast this. It is likely that we will not get to every single question that was submitted this evening. So if you do not hear the answer to the question that was submitted, please just give us a call so we can follow up on that. I want to introduce tonight's panel, Ms. Janet Wood, kindergarten principal, Ms. Lori Crampton, Nelson Wilkes Heron, principal, Ms. Allison Dewey, Hackler Intermediate School principal, Ms. Lindsay Blevins, Pinkston Middle School principal, Mr. Kyle McCarn, junior high school principal, Mr. Brent Bogier, high school principal, Ms. Jill Chinskowski, director of special education, Mr. Steve Mendeleski, technology supervisor, Mr. Ron Chinskowski, director of student services, overseeing the transportation, Mr. Mitch Husky, athletic director, Mr. Matt Sutton, our school-based mental health coordinator, Ms. Caroline Nail, our assistant superintendent. And so I want to welcome Ms. Heather Loftus, a member of our district's Ready for Learning Committee, and she will lead tonight's discussion.
Thank you, Dr. Long. We've got a lot of questions to get through tonight, so we're going to move quickly. Our first set of questions goes to Ms. Janet Wood, kindergarten principal. What are the social distancing plans for your building?
We are looking at rearranging our classrooms to promote more social distancing as much as possible. We're providing extra tables and seating for students. We have the same number of minutes for recess as we had last year. However, we're altering our recess schedule so that we have fewer at recess at one time. We will eat in pods to reduce the number in the cafeteria at one time. We're looking at rotating some specials teachers so that the students stay in the classroom. We've built in time for cleaning between the specials. We're looking at some of our students eating in the classroom. Some of the students have assigned areas for car loading, and in the afternoon, the bus riders will stay in class and not all gather in the cafeteria.
How do parents who missed our learning model selection survey sign their kids up for BVA or blended learning?
They can call us at the office at 425-1256, and we can make that change.
Can you explain what remote learning for kindergarten students will look like?
The expectation is that students will participate in live literacy and math lessons at specific times during the day. This will be discussed at parent-teacher conference with a virtual teacher. The teacher will also record her lessons, which can be watched later if circumstances arise that the student cannot be live.
Will kindergarten students be required to wear a mask?
No, ma'am. Only 3rd through 12th grade.
If we have to transition to all online learning, what will the expectations for parents be?
We will highly encourage parents to make arrangements and coordinate so that their child can be live with the teacher. That's why it's so important for parents to attend the conference so that the communication can be discussed between the parent and the teacher.
How much online classwork will an on-site kindergarten student be required to complete?
Very little online classwork while an on-site student. Use of iPads while on-site will be mainly for assessment, center time, and practicing with our Canvas learning management system.
If I have been encouraging my child to wear a mask when we were out in public, and I intend to have her wear one at school, will her teachers allow her to keep it on even though kindergarten students aren't required to wear masks?
Yes, absolutely, they can wear it. And the only time we'd ask to take it off probably is if teachers are working on phonemic awareness and they need to see the mouth and hear the sounds.
How will BVA kindergarten students practice skills like handwriting? Will they have any assignments on paper?
Handwriting skills will be practiced during the interactive time with the virtual teacher. The teacher can mirror her screen onto a large screen in her classroom so she can see the students better. Some of the work will be on paper. You can download and print the paper copies, or the virtual teacher will provide the paper copies as well. The virtual teacher will also provide arts and craft packets for those parents.
What school supplies will BVA kindergarten students receive?
All virtual students will receive the necessary school supplies, same as the blended student.
Will BVA kindergarten students receive textbooks?
Yes, all BVA students will receive textbooks, workbooks, same as the blended student.
Last question, will BVA kindergarten students have their school pictures taken?
Yes, virtual students will have the opportunity to have their pictures made on picture day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Mrs. Laura Crampton, Nelson Wilkes Herron Elementary Principal. What will social distancing look like in your building?
Very much the same as what Mrs. Wood described. We will make, within the classroom, the desks will be separated, and in the cafeteria, we will have some classes eating in the classroom while some are in the cafeteria and in the hallways, of course.
Three questions in one here. If we choose BVA to begin the year, can we change at any time? Can parents switch their children from blended to BVA if they believe things have gotten too risky health-wise, even if it isn't at the end of a quarter?
So we have encouraged parents to commit to 9 weeks, either BVA or blended. However, we understand that circumstances might arise that we might need to change the learning model, and I would encourage you to contact the principal to make those arrangements.
How can we as parents best help our children, their teachers, and this school prepare for our year?
Oh, that's a good question. Thank you for that. I would say the most important thing that parents can do is to prepare their kiddos for the way that things are going to look and be, why their teacher is wearing a mask, those kinds of things. I think it's important also that the kids know how to express themselves to us in case they're being anxious or if they're scared, because their well-being and their sense of security is very important to us.
Will parents be able to volunteer in the buildings when school starts?
We do have plans for parents to be able to volunteer, and I'll be in contact and communication with the volunteer coordinators to make a plan that works for us.
Will we have the Flight Crew After School program this year?
We will, at Kindergarten, Nelson Wilkes Herron, and Hackler. We will have that, and if you need more information, you can call the schools.
Thank you. Next up, we have questions for Mrs. Allison Dewey, Hackler Intermediate Principal. What will social distancing look like in your building?
Very similar to what the other elementary principals have expressed. We are making extra room in classrooms, spreading kiddos out, changing our morning routine to where kids are in the hallways, not all in the gym, every other seat separated diagonally in the cafeteria, encouraging kids at recess to play non-contact activities. So those are just a few of the ways.
Will early morning drop-offs still be available this year?
It will. We're going to start our early morning drop-off at 6:30, right there at the third grade car loading door as we have in the past.
How will recess and PE be handled? Will kids be allowed to play freely, or do you plan on restricting their ability to play with their friends?
We don't plan on restricting their ability to play with their friends. Our children will not have to wear a mask at this time at recess once they get outside, outdoors. However, each day we'll be giving them reminders about social distancing and encouraging them to play games that are no contact.
What if I don't want my child to wear a mask? Will they be able to attend school and ride a bus?
We are asking students grade K-12 to wear, we're not asking. Arkansas Department of Education has told us that students age K through 12 on buses will be wearing masks. Our district is asking students grade 3 through 12 to wear masks at school. We are going to have frequent mask breaks at Hackler. Already plans are made for that. Once we can effectively and comfortably socially distance, students will not have to wear their masks. When they're working in groups, when they're in common areas, that's when we'll have our masks on.
What?
As far as other, there are other options that our district is offering, such as our Bomber Virtual Academy, if that is something their families are interested in.
What opportunities are available for fifth grade students enrolled in the blended option to take a portion of their curriculum as virtual/online? We are interested in doing some virtual.
That's definitely an option for families. We consider that our flexible blended option. We would just like for those families to either contact us at the office at 425-1288, tell us which classes they would like to do virtually and which they'd like to do seated, or talk to their teacher at open house, and we'll be able to set up a schedule so they're able to do that.
Will students be allowed to wear their own face masks? Will gator-style masks be allowed?
They may wear their own face mask. The district is providing 2 face masks per student. So if they don't have one, don't worry. We do have 2 per student. Gator-type masks are fine as well. Excited Hackler, along with one of our local financial institutions, is providing lanyards for our kiddos. They are breakaway, so they're safe, and our students will be able to keep up with their masks, hopefully a little easier.
What will the action be when a child presents at school with a fever? It could be any number of causes. Will a COVID test be required, and what of classmates?
A COVID test will not be required to return back to school. We're asking students to be fever-free for 48 hours. So that's 100.4 would be the fever, the temperature that's sent home. But we're asking them to be fever-free without medication for 48 hours. That is a little different than in the past. We've done 24 hours in the past. We are asking for 48 hours before they return to school.
What if my child does not feel comfortable wearing a mask?
I think the best thing when talking with your kiddos about wearing a mask is first to let them know that we are going to have frequent mask breaks at school. Once we can get kids separated, we're going to allow them to take those masks off and do their learning. And just remember, we do have that virtual option if that's something families would be more comfortable with at this time.
Will visitors be allowed inside the school building without masks on? My concern is that masks will cause the people who work in front offices to not be able to properly identify an unwelcome visitor.
I had a discussion today concerning that question with our front office staff about how we will handle situations like that. The first thing, families in Mountain Home, we want you to know is student safety is always our utmost priority. The second thing to remember is we now have the buzzer system to let people into our offices, so they can't just walk into the office. Our secretaries or ladies in the office will always, if they question someone coming in, ask them to remove their mask before they're allowed into the building.
If my child is sent home with a fever, just like children have been for years, do they have to be tested before coming back to school or just be fever-free for a certain amount of time?
Like we just talked about, fever-free, 48 hours, they do not require a test to come back to school.
If we chose on-site classes but have since decided to use virtual due to medical issues, may we change?
You absolutely may change. If you'll just call the office at the soonest possible time, 870-425-1288, anyone who answers the phone will be able to help you get in touch with the right folks to be able to switch that.
Will the kids be eating in the cafeteria, or will they have to eat in their classroom? Will the kids still get to switch classes and also get to go to specials?
Okay, so that's kind of 3 questions. The first one is, will they eat in the cafeteria? At this time, we are planning on Hackler students eating in the cafeteria. We have a staggered as they come into the cafeteria, of course, keeping that 6 feet of distance. When they sit down at their tables, we're going to be able to, because our cafeteria is very large, to do every other seat diagonal to get very close to that 6 feet of social distancing. The second question is switching classes. We are planning on our students, they are in pods or in teams, their families. So they're going to be able to switch to the other teacher's classroom, but there will be cleaning in between those switches. As far as specials, at this time we have set a little bit of extra time between specials, so our teachers will be able to clean between classes. 10 minutes is what we have right now, so that there's no chance of that crossing those different classrooms of kiddos.
What ages can participate in part-time at school and part-time at home, and how do we sign up for this option?
That is considered our blended learning option. That is grades K through 12. Just need to call the school if you have not let us know that yet, the school that your child is enrolled in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move on to Pinkston Middle School Principal, Mrs. Lindsay Blevins. Tell us what social distancing will look like in your building.
Pinkston teachers have been working this week and will continue to work to make adjustments in their classroom. We've made some changes from tables to desks to create more social distancing in those classrooms. We will be rotating our lunch periods for both 6th and 7th grade to reduce the numbers in our cafeteria. We've made adjustments to where students will sit during their lunch periods. And we have a scheduled practice for moving in hallways and getting to and from classes to ensure that we can keep our kids as safe as possible each day.
If there's an outbreak of cases, one or more, amongst one of the schools, will parents be notified of the positive cases, and will parents be allowed to keep their child at home for schooling in case of that event?
We will notify those students that may have been in contact with a primary positive case and those families to make sure that they are aware. We will make adjustments, and those families will be informed of what procedures need to be followed for their students. We will only share the information we are allowed to share, but we'll inform our parents as necessary so that they feel comfortable and know what they need to know to allow their child to return to school. If they feel uneasy about them coming back for some reason, we will make adjustments and allow those parents to make the changes needed so that they feel comfortable with their child, whether that's virtually or on campus, when a case or situation happens.
When will kids have the opportunity to take off masks?
We know they'll be eating in the cafeteria, and at that time we'll remove masks. We do have some classrooms where we are able to distance 6 feet or more apart, and that will allow them that opportunity. They'll have that opportunity at different times during the day, but also when they are outside at recess as well. So we will try to provide as many opportunities as possible where the distancing is adequate.
If a child chooses BVA, will they be allowed to participate in sports?
Students can participate in AAA athletics or any AAA activities. We are looking at those students as a blended student, where if they are virtual for everything but that, they'll come to campus for those situations.
What will open house look like this year? Will it be the same process at all buildings?
At Pinkston, and I believe at many other campuses, we are having our 6th and 7th grade teachers call their academic advisory students, which is their homeroom in essence, and they are scheduling appointments on both August 19th and 20th for our parents and their students, and we'll have scheduled appointments for both of those days. So open house does look a little different. You have a nice scheduled time to work with that parent and that student during that time, and it's a little different, but we think we're going to have direct contact and a lot of attention for our students and parents.
How do students create their schedules?
When we were going through our initial AMI days from March to May, we worked with our families in 5th and 6th grade, meaning last year's 5th graders, this year's current 6th graders, through virtual contact and online contact and emails, and so we initiated that process in April and May. If they haven't made contact or haven't done that, they can call Pinkston at 425-1236 and ask to speak with a counselor, and they can make their schedule. But we've been working on that since April and have been continuing that.
Will online students have to be watching videos live at the same time the teacher is teaching, or can they watch later on their own time?
Ideally, it would be great if they can be in class and watch that instruction at that time, but teachers will be recording those live sessions, or will pre-record sessions, and those will all be uploaded through Canvas, so a student, if not able to watch it live, would be able to watch it on their own time frame.
Will BVA students have the same holiday breaks and calendar as seated students?
Yes.
Will Pinkston utilize lockers this year?
Pinkston will be utilizing lockers. We have gone back and forth on that. We've looked and thought about backpacks and where they would be in the classroom, handling of backpacks, others touching each other's backpacks. It's a different nature in Pinkston than in the upper grades. So, yes, we will be utilizing our lockers this year.
Thank you, Mrs. Blevins.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll hear from Mr. Kyle McCarron, principal at Mountain Home Junior High. Tell us about social distancing at the junior high.
So we will be, like many of the other buildings, working with our teachers to recreate our classrooms a little bit, to do social distancing there where possible. We're also looking at alternate locations for both breakfast and lunch to have students that could potentially eat in the band hall or other alternate locations during those times. So that's our plan for social distancing.
Will we receive a letter or notice outlining the guidelines for students in regards to COVID-19, for example, masks, social distancing rules, et cetera?
Yes, yeah, so our plan on that is to have a letter that will be handed out for families when they come in. For open house on the 19th and 20th, one of the many things that you'll be able to do at that point in time is get an informational sheet that will be handed to you through their advisor.
If my child is sent home with a fever not related to COVID-19, how long does he have to be fever-free without medication before returning to school?
So good question, Heather, and the answer to that is 48 hours. So that's a guidance coming down from the Arkansas Department of Health, and it's 48 hours.
Will classes like band and drama be available for BVA students?
Another good question. Some of those will need to be a case-by-case basis, but I feel very confident in our ability to be able to offer some of those virtually. As far as drama, my answer to that is yes. Band may be a little bit different, but I have collaborated with Tom Chetnik and some of our other band directors, and they are exploring options to be able to offer those virtually.
What will the daily schedule at the Mountain Home Junior High look like this year?
Yeah, so another good question. So daily schedule will look as much like it has in the past, where we have four classes a day. We will have the same four classes on Monday, Wednesday, and the other four classes on Tuesday, Thursday, with an alternating four-day rotation on Friday. Also important to note that we will still do advisory between first and second block on Monday through Thursday.
I appreciate the compliments, but all these questions were submitted by your parents, so thanks goes to them. Thank you, sir. Next up is high school principal, Mr. Brent Bogie. Tell us about social distancing at the high school.
Well, it's going to be similar to all the other schools, and Mr. McCarn and I worked really close to try to be as similar as possible. The alternate locations at lunch will be in play. The courtyard, of course, a pavilion, and some other areas that we haven't used in the past, we'll be using those. Our teachers in the classrooms will be social distancing the students in their desks as much as possible. The grouping of our students, such as our class meetings that we normally have in large groups, we will have those in our advisory classrooms, and we'll utilize our Bomber News network on a daily basis to get out that information.
My grandson is attending welding at the tech school part of the day. Does he have to register separate in order to attend tech, or is all of that handled within his schedule for senior year?
That's all handled within his schedule.
Will junior high and high school students use lockers?
No, they will not. That's another effort to cut down on the proximity of our students. It's one of those things where it may or may not affect some of our kids differently. A lot of our kids get lockers the first year, and they don't normally use them anyway. And so, we thought that would be another effort to cut down on the social.
Will student proximity. Temperatures be taken at the junior high and high school?
Excuse me?
Student temperatures, will they be taken daily at the high school and junior high?
As needed.
As needed?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we have Special Education Director, Mrs. Jill Chinskowski. Do you have alternating teaching methods worked out for 504 IEP students who cannot understand teachers due to mask restrictions or for general classroom teaching issues?
We do. We have ordered cloth masks that have a clear shield where the mouth is so the students can see the teacher's lips, which would make it easier for them to understand and hear the teachers. We've ordered those for gen ed teachers as well as student needs arise.
What kind of accommodations can the school put in place for children in SPED when it comes to the virtual academy? How will these children who miss frequently stay caught up? What will the demand with school work look like with the virtual academy?
Okay, accommodations. We really don't see that the accommodations will differ much from seated class to virtual. Common accommodations, extra time, calculator, read alouds, those can all be done virtually. And we also would meet as an IEP committee to make any changes to those accommodations.
How will self-contained special education classes be managed with social distancing? What about if these students have to do remote learning?
So the social distancing, just like you heard in the other buildings, we are going to attempt to create that environment for the students. Could be more challenging for the self-contained students as they do sometimes need to move about more freely. What was the second part of that?
What about if these students have to do remote learning?
Okay, we are finalizing our contingency plan formats, and these will guide whatever changes need to be made for virtual. We will be making parent contact to individualize those plans. There were a few parts to the question before I didn't get to. The question before that, it was a three-part question. I only answered one part.
I'm sorry. Did I interrupt your answer?
It's okay. I think I paused too long.
Let's go back to that then.
I got the first one.
Okay. Let me ask the two parts. How will children in SVED who miss frequently stay caught up?
Perfect.
Then what will the demand with schoolwork look like with the virtual academy?
Gotcha. Okay. So those who miss frequently, we actually feel like the virtual option will help these students. They won't miss live instruction. They can go back and watch something that was recorded, or they can schedule a different time with their virtual teacher. As far as the expectations, we expect that the rigor will be the same, connection with the standards, and we will address the IEP goals and objectives as if they were seated in class.
Thank you.
I think I got it.
Next up, we'll hear from Mr. Jeff Kincaid of Guy Berry. Tell us about social distancing at Guy Berry.
We've got a classroom set up where we can get try to assure the kids 6 foot apart, and if the classrooms get too big, we have some plans to move to the cafeteria or rotate kids into another classroom where they can still sit with an adult and attend remotely.
What will the BVA students' day look like?
At Guy Berry, we expect them to log in. They'll run their regular schedule. They'll start with us and go through that day. We do have the ability to record as we do that in case their internet goes down or they're a kid and they oversleep, so they can come back and rewatch that video and catch up and still be caught up with the classroom.
Guy Berry probably has more experience with remote learning than anyone else. Tell us about your experiences and what us as parents can expect in the coming year.
When we did Bomber Night Flight last year, we set that up through Google Classroom, and the thing that has to happen is parents have really got to help your students and remind your students to stay on, and don't just say, hey, have you done your work? Make sure you go in and check, and that's the reason we're setting up conferences with our parents to show them how to log in to Canvas so they can check and see that they have done their homework and have stayed caught up with their classroom.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up, Mr. Steve Mendeleski from our technology department. When will students be issued devices for BVA?
The plan to issue the devices will be at open house, where the teachers can meet with the parents and students and go over anything that they need to go over, but that's our plan, is to have those all available at open house.
When will parents receive training for Canvas?
Canvas training for parents, the big portion will happen at open house also. We hope to maybe have some materials out a little bit earlier than that, but open house is going to be the key for that.
Can my child go ahead and have his Canvas login and begin coursework now? Somebody's ready to go.
Really, we need to wait till the first day of school. Teachers are still preparing. We're still working on stuff on the back end with Canvas, getting modules and stuff put in. So we need to wait till the first day of school when everything kicks off.
Will it be okay for my child to bring her own Chromebook from home to school instead of using the school-issued device?
If the student is going to be in school, ideally, we would just like them to use the school device. The devices will be clean between classes or at the end of the day. The plan for that is a student will be issued a device in the morning when they come to school, and they will carry that device all throughout the day. They'll turn it back into their classroom at the end of the day, and the next day they will be issued that same device, but it will be cleaned at the end of the day. So there are some circumstances where some kids will want to use their own device, and we just kind of need to address those one-on-one.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up, we'll discuss transportation with Mr. Ron Chinskowski. Will students be required to wear a mask on the bus?
Yes, they will, and that's state guidance that we've been given.
How will you accomplish social distancing on buses?
We'll do the best we can with the numbers of kids that we have, and as we see through the first few days of school what our numbers are on the buses and what our routes can accommodate, we'll make appropriate adjustments to minimize the number of kids on each bus. But that, again, has to start when school starts.
Will siblings be required to sit together on buses?
Yes, ma'am. For the safety of the kids, the siblings will sit together on buses.
Will students be screened on the bus or when they arrive at school?
Students will not be screened on buses. They'll be screened at school.
Will the number of students on each bus be decreased?
It's a great question, and we need to start the school year to see what numbers that we have, along with looking at the online registration. And we do plan on looking at our routes to decrease numbers as much as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Mitch Husky, Athletic Director. Coach Husky, how will social distancing be accomplished at athletic events?
Well, right now we have received guidance and guidelines from the state on three of our sports, cross-country, golf, and tennis. Recently, Monday and Tuesday, we had the ultimate golf tournament, and we made a plan and sent to all the teams that were arriving to make sure we keep social distance between our athletes and also our spectators.
Will there be travel for travel games? Hang on, let me get this right. This is important. Will there be travel games for football?
Yes, there will be travel for football and all of our other sports as well. And to kind of go back to that previous question, there's a committee meeting this week, and we'll have further guidance on what volleyball and football will look like probably as early as beginning next week.
Will students be required to wear masks and PE?
Our physical education teachers have many activities that allow for social distancing, and no, a mask will not be needed. If social distancing can't take place, then yes, a mask will need to be put on. But our physical education teachers will not make them do any physical activity with the mask on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, Mr. Matt Sutton, school-based mental health coordinator. Does the district have a plan to identify students and staff who have struggled emotionally during the pandemic? Are you going to address the emotions your students and staff may be experiencing during this very challenging situation?
As far as identification goes, we really have, from the beginning, looked at this as really none of us are exempt from the potential for emotional struggle. So from leadership to staff to students, really all of us are in need of emotional support through this process. So that will start for our students really with the beginning of the year push towards social emotional learning. So we'll have a lot of at all the different campuses of emphasis on social emotional learning and on safety and on emotional sharing. And then what that would look like is if we start to identify in those classrooms that there are students that may be struggling to maybe learn at the rate that they need to in social emotional learning, then we would maybe identify them as pull out interventions for the building level counselors. And then those building level counselors are able to work with those students a little bit extra. If that then isn't enough and we're continuing to see emotional difficulties in students, what we would do at that point is offer school-based mental health and even clinical interventions at that point. So that's kind of the train of identification, and that's how that would go. As far as a plan for the staff, we really luckily, before the pandemic began, we started some self-care programs and an initiative towards self-care that really pushed us right into the pandemic and set us up for a place where we could continue that through the summer months through videos encouraging self-care for our teachers. We also have some partnerships with through our Arkansas benefits where our teachers are allowed things like counseling and life coaching that we're going to promote on these beginning of the year professional developments. And have some potential for professional or for some EAP packages that have been offered to us from some local agencies for our staff. So I think that's addressing both staff and students.
How will you work to identify mental health needs for your BVA students?
Yeah, so it will be very similar to what we learned from the initial move to virtual earlier in this past school year. It will look like teachers identifying either lack of connection to students, maybe students aren't checking in, they're not hearing from students, and teachers are having trouble contacting them. They will then inform building level counselors. Those building level counselors will get involved, begin to check in on that student to see if there is a need. And again, it would go through that process of if we needed to move further, they would identify myself, and then I could divvy those out as far as need be for our mental health counselors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ms. Caroline Nail, our district's new assistant superintendent. I have just one question for you, but it's a very important one. Does the district have a plan to address the learning our students missed in the spring?
Yes, ma'am, we do. Actually, this summer, Michelle McWilliams, who leads our curriculum and instruction, along with our teachers on a special assignment, that would be Judy Lawrence and Laura Strider, met with kindergarten through ninth grade teachers, and they worked on those essential standards that those are required from the Arkansas Department of Ed, what we teach in those classrooms. And essential standards are pretty special because students have to have that to mastery. So they reviewed what was taught up through March, and then they really looked at the ones that they missed out on during that fourth quarter. And if you can imagine, you're at a track meet and you're watching a relay race and those runners are passing on that baton, that's what happened that summer during that meeting. Those teachers took those missing standards that our students didn't get to get to mastery, and they passed it on to that next grade level so those teachers can pick it up and fill in those gaps and make sure that all of our kids, regardless of what grade level in math and literacy, are going to be successful.
Thank you. And welcome to Mountain Home.
Thank you.
Next, Dr. Jake Long. Sir?
Heather?
Got a little extra time.
Yep. Hopefully we got some questions online, huh?
We do. My child won't be wearing a mask. Is this an issue?
So our goal, and we, you know, we certainly understand and respect, you know, individual feelings on this particular issue. But, you know, we're going to follow the guidelines and the directives that have been set by the governor that have been established, you know, for the district and ask students in 3 through 12 to wear a mask. In conjunction with that, we know that there are some that might have the issue with it, and so our goal is to educate them, to talk about the benefits, talk about the risks, and then ultimately... we do have the fully virtual option if it comes to, you know, an individual not wanting to wear the mask at school.
Can my blended student choose which days to attend school?
So the blended is a scheduled choice. And so that means that if you have a blended student, then you're going to have a schedule of when you're coming to school and when you're not coming to school. So think about blended as being scheduled and then the Bomber Virtual Academy being certainly fully virtual.
And they can make those changes after the first 9 weeks or after the first semester?
The first 9 weeks. And so we are asking parents to commit their child to 9 weeks. And that's, you know, that's really for consistency in the child's education along with their teacher.
What's the plan for when a student is found positive for COVID-19?
So if a student is found positive, they need to contact their building principal, and then they will either utilize them, it'll either be themselves or the school nurse, and from that point, we will begin through the district's point of contact, we will begin the conversations with Arkansas Department of Health to do the contact tracing. And so what we will do is we will go through, if the child has been, or if a student has been at school for that time, we will have to do the contact tracing for that. That's also why it's going to be so important and for students to have seating charts on the buses, seating charts in the classroom, seating charts for the start of school. And, you know, I know that's not the ideal situation for all students and for parents. But those are going to be very critical components of us being able to continue to have our doors open and offer an on-site instruction for our students.
We had a positive COVID-19 case during our summer school. How would you assess the school's response? What would you do differently?
Yeah. I feel like we did learn a lot from that that particular situation. The response procedurally was good, and we followed the Arkansas Department of Health guidelines. Internally, we needed to improve some of our communications. We also need to put a greater focus on the individuals that are being affected as opposed to the process. So, I, you know, am definitely take responsibility for that. And so we have to make sure we understand that a positive case coming down with this is an emotional and traumatic situation. And so we want to make sure that we're taking care of the individual, whether that be student or staff, first, ensuring their well-being, and then moving appropriately through the process.
What is the procedure if a student's family member tests positive?
So the likelihood if a student's family member tests positive is that they are going to be identified as a probable close contact. And so probable close contacts will be consulted through our district's point of contact to the Arkansas Department of Education, and the current guidance for a probable close contact is quarantined for 14 days. That does not mean that any family member, if they have not been in contact with each other, that doesn't mean that has to be the case, but that's the most likely scenario for that particular situation.
The Arkansas Department of Health has received criticism for a lag time in contact tracing. If there's a presumed probable close contact, who leads the contact tracing, Arkansas Department of Health or Mountain Home Public Schools?
So we will do the probable close contact tracing. So that's done at the district level. Beyond that, it is reported to the Arkansas Department of Health to do any kind of follow-up with that. And we understand that there's a backlog within the system right now, but we also have been told that there has been hundreds of additional people that have been added to that that department to help with this once school opens up. So the district will handle the probable close contact, and then the official close contact designation will come from the Arkansas Department of Health.
If a student is tested, are they required to alert the school?
They are not required. We would ask that, you know, we are made aware of any possible COVID-19 situations, and that awareness given to us will simply allow us to take the precautions that need to be made, but it is not something that, you know, is required by policy or law.
Will you administer a COVID-19 test without my knowledge or my permission? Will you vaccinate without my knowledge or my permission?
Absolutely not.
In some neighboring states, teachers are being asked to wear masks, face shields, and gloves. What is being asked of our teachers?
Our teachers will be asked to wear a mask whenever social distancing is not possible. They will all receive, you know, the cloth mask as well. And and so that will be what they're required to wear. The guidance is, though, if a teacher can distance themselves 12 feet from the audience, that mask can then be removed for speaking situations.
Friday was the deadline for parents and students to select their desired learning model. What does the data show for blended learning and Bomber Virtual Academy? How many students are we looking at for each?
Yeah, we currently are right at the 75% students planning on to return to on-site instruction, 25% virtual. Those numbers have ticked up over the, you know, since the first of this week of folks that might not have been able to respond to the survey. We did have about 3,000 responses to the survey, which is, you know, 75% of our overall student population.
Is the breakdown pretty even building to building?
It seems to be so, that it is pretty consistent.
If I wanted to choose my mind now, between now and school, do I still have that opportunity?
To change your mind now? Certainly, our goal here is not to, you know, draw a line in the sand and never cross it. Our goal is to ensure that we are providing an education that of the parent's choice. And so it is important that we make that decision as soon as possible, though, because those planning stages have, you know, certainly begun.
Will face shields be okay for students with glasses?
You know, the guidance from the Arkansas Department of Health doesn't omit, if a student uses a face shield, it doesn't omit the usage of a mask. And so I think that that's important that, you know, a face shield alone doesn't provide, according to the medical experts, does not provide the same protection of what the mask does. And so certainly if students, you know, want to wear a face shield, then, you know, we're not going to stand in the way of that. But we would still, that doesn't negate the usage of a mask.
Have you considered letting students work from home one day a week or rotating days to accomplish social distancing?
We have considered that, and that would certainly, depending on our local situation in the upcoming weeks and months and, you know, over the course of the year, could very, very well be an option that we utilize at certain grade levels. But we have received very clear direction and very clear guidance that from the Secretary of Education as well as the governor that we're to be open for on-site instruction 5 days a week.
If a student leaves the state for vacation, will they have to quarantine when they get back?
Not based on any kind of local policy or current state policies, but if that does change with the Arkansas Department of Health or any other governing agencies, we would follow that as well.
How will parents, students, and teachers be notified of a positive case?
So we do have something set up on our website that includes the under our Ready for Learning tab, and under that tab you can see a positive COVID-19 case information, and it includes the building as well as the date and the number of positive cases. So our plan is to keep that updated, but we will also notify folks of positive cases as much as we are allowed to do without it being personally identifiable to the individuals that are being affected.
Will accommodations be made for first period tardiness with the enhanced drop-off procedures?
Certainly. There's lots of, you know, if you even look at our transportation system, you know, we're no longer going to be doing shuttles because of contact tracing complications that does bring forward. So we know that our buses are even going to be, you know, taking more time and running from each building. And those policies will certainly be flexible and adjusted.
What about sick days if kids and teachers are both sent home to quarantine?
So the sick leave is certainly for quarantine purposes, is definitely an excused absence for the students. For staff members, there is some federal laws and federal guidelines that help with those cases, and that allows some additional leave days if those scenarios do arise.
Mrs. Roberta Allen has been selected as the contact person for our district. Loretta Allen. Walk us through the process of what will happen with the contact tracing and a positive case.
Okay, so Loretta is our point of contact from the district, and she will be notified if there is a positive case. And from that point, we will begin talking with building administrators, teachers, to find out what that student's schedule looks like. And based on what the student's schedule looks like, if they rode a bus, they went to breakfast, they were in a classroom, we will begin looking at the number of students that were affected for that, and then we will begin contacting those students and notifying them that, hey, you are a probable close contact, and then begin the process for them for contacting parents and then them being quarantined. And so, you know, we do, we've had one experience of that, of a positive case, but, you know, we would ask for patience and grace through that time as we navigate those waters of the probability of multiple positive cases. And I want to mention at this time something that Dr. Lawrence said. Dr. Lawrence serves on our Ready for Learning Committee, and I want parents and community members to understand that, you know, becoming, you know, to if you come down with being having a positive of COVID-19, that's not a failure on an individual. That's not a failure on a family, on a parent. That's not a failure on the system. It is what we're. It is the world that we're living in right now, and so I don't want folks to see that as a, you know, as a situation in which they should shouldn't be ashamed of, and so I think that's important that we don't recognize whenever that does happen as it being failures.
What other recommendations have come out of the Ready for Learning Committee?
You know, that the Ready for Learning Committee has been instrumental in our planning process. Some of the best recommendations, you know, Ms. Stephanie Free, the infectious prevention person from Baxter Regional, has been very, you know, you hear her on the radio as well, and she's very passionate about cleaning, sanitizing, and so she's provided a lot of good suggestions that we needed to be looking at in the sanitation of our facilities. That has led to a number of conversations regarding air circulation, and so all of our AC units and blower systems do bring in outside air, and they do all circulate outside air, and so that's a recommendation as that is being, you know, put forward. Of course, you know, as soon as the weather, you know, turns and we're able to, you know, we'll bring in, you know, open up the windows and allow for that. I know many of our campuses are also planning for outdoor learning spaces and outdoor instruction. And so that's another thing that has come out of it. And so I'm very indebted to the folks that have invested the time into that, because it's really helped us scrub this thing clean and come up with answer as many questions as we possibly can and think of as many scenarios as we possibly can.
Speaking of scrubbing things clean, walk us through the protocols for each building in terms of sanitation.
So I don't have those, you know, right with me at this, you know, exact.
Because there's about 3 pages worth?
Yeah, because it is not, but every custodian and school building will be going through a training on the 11th, on next week. And so from that training with the professional, our professional cleaning folks, they will be getting and establishing checklists. And that checklist, you know, will be all-consuming. And we will be making sure that those things are being done, and then making sure that those that are inspecting it is being done. And that's not to, you know, play hardball on anything, but we just want to make sure that we have the appropriate checks and balances in place to make sure that our facilities are being cleaned.
The governor announced an initiative to provide hotspots to school districts across the state. How many hotspots did Mountain Home receive, and what will that process look like?
So Steve actually might be able to speak to that particular question a little better than I.
Mountain Home, we were allotted about 150 hotspots through that program. So we don't know when the arrival of those will be, but we will have plans to get those issued out to certain students that may need internet. The potential problem with that is a lot of students do live in rural areas, and cell service isn't an option either. So we're going to kind of have to look at those addresses and cases one by one, and, you know, we may have to look at something a little bit different. So,
but one of the beauties of the Canvas management system is it does not need continuous Wi-Fi. You can hook up to a hotspot and upload and download almost a week's worth of assignments.
Correct. Correct. So that's going to be another option in addition to cellular hotspots, and that's what we wanted to do, is to try to cover as many of those different avenues as we could, so there's no students left out.
And all of the campuses are Wi-Fi, so they can literally come to parking lots to create their own hotspot if they can.
Yes, and we're in the process of putting new hotspots up at all campuses. We only had them at a few locations last spring, and they will be more powerful outdoor access points that will work much better and cover a larger area.
Thank you. Sorry to bring you up a second time.
Might also say to that question is a couple of internet service providers in town have also put in hotspots across town, and so Yelcock Communications as well as North Arkansas Electric has put in those hotspots at certain locations.
I have a long question here.
Okay.
Classrooms are somewhat safely secured environments consisting of enrolled kids and background check teachers and or aides. With cameras and microphones both inside and, more importantly, outside the classroom, how is my child's anonymity going to be kept private from potential outside members of society that have not been background checked?
So I want everybody to remember that the Canvas platform is a secure platform used by educational institutions, both higher ed as well as K-12 education. Many even local school districts have been using the Canvas platform for years. And so it is certainly a secure platform. To dive deeper into that question, the U.S. Department of Education did issue some guidance on this back in March, whenever everybody across the entire country did have to transition to, remote learning, video conferencing, and all that. And so they do recommend, the U.S. Department of Education, they do recommend that we put in local rules and policies and guidance that limits and prohibits visitors from coming into the virtual classroom. And so we will be including that into our special considerations document. In addition to that, a video, we have to make sure that our video conferencing does not disclose educational records and those records that are protected under FERPA. And so, a simple face, on a video is not necessarily a FERPA-protected record.
Just a few minutes left here tonight, Dr. Okay. Long. Final questions. Will school supplies be provided to all students this year? If so, will BVA students receive them too? We've mentioned this a couple times, but people want to know.
Yes, they will. And so school supplies will be provided to every student, whether you are virtual or on-site.
When will we know which teacher our elementary child has for the year?
I believe those class letters are going out this week. Okay, so those class letters
tomorrow
will be mailed.
Not that we're looking.
Yeah. So I know that is an anticipated date from parents and students. And so those letters will be mailed on August 7th, which is tomorrow.
What type of situation might cause us to have to pivot to an all virtual work from home school model?
Unfortunately, I don't have, there's not a standard answer for that question. It's more of an all-encompassing community status, school status, database decision that will be made in conjunction with myself, the Arkansas Department of Health, and the Arkansas Department of Education. Once again, I want to reiterate that there is a strong commitment to ensure that our students have that ability engage in on-site instruction if that's what parents so choose. And so with that strong commitment, I'm sure that we will go through every possible guidelines through the quarantine process. And so I don't want it to be a shock to anyone whenever, a number of students are quarantined or are asked to quarantine, and maybe even a school itself or a wing or a whole classroom. The reality is that is going to happen, but that's going to happen out of the safety of our students and of our families and of our teachers.
Are we going to start school on August 24th?
We're going to start school on August 24th. And so those class letters come out. We will have those open house, that scheduled conference open house time on the 19th and 20th. And we are super excited to see our students show up at our schools.
2 weeks ago, Secretary of Education Johnny Key mentioned school districts who are getting it right across the state. Mountain Home Public School District was the first school district he mentioned. So I commend the leadership of all of you on stage for making this happen. And we hope to see all of you on August 24th. Go Bombers.
Thank you for listening to tonight's town hall event from the Mountain Home School District.